And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You are now tuned into anything potable, the most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause, like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital, like Antoine when he shimmied after shots went through. So tell me why you mad even. Your team gonna be sad leaving after matching up with Brad Stevens. East season, champion contenders. We drop twice a week like you trying to guard Kemba. Your team whack and your players whacker. I got the inside scoop after hanging up with Jay and Packer. Okay, we about chips here. I'm talking about this year. Banner 12 plus 6 here. Carson Edwards top rookie. I'm seeing it now. Ain't playing around with Tatum and Hayward or Brown. We off the charts, but you gotta play it Marcus Smart. Close out, cause he pulling up from Harvey Yard. Gang green, it's no other way. So tune in to the pod if you plan on staying up today. You heard? Aziz. Hey, Jay, I see you, player.
Welcome to
Anything Is Possible!
The Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sam Jam Packard, professional sports fan, and I am joined, as always, by the kid, the god, the legend himself, Celtics beat reporter for The Athletic, Jay King, everyone. Jay,
I feel like you got a little pep in your step today. I don't know what it is, but you're coming in hot.
I came in real hot. You got to bring the energy because it's the off season now. You can't just like stumble in here and expect to get off a good podcast. No, you got to put in that effort, put in that work. A lot has happened since we last podcasted, not in the world of the Celtics. Actually, nothing has changed in the world of Celtics, but since we last podcasted, the Los Angeles Lakers won an NBA championship, and that's pretty much it. I don't think we have to really cover that anymore. I don't have to talk about it. It's certainly not something I would like to discuss. If you want, we could get into a MJ versus LeBron debate, but I don't think that's worth any of our times.
Because I'm the GOAT anyway.
That was where I was going to land on. But there are a few things. We asked the listener gods out there for things to talk about. And I'm going to start off with actually plugging an article we host here on The Athletic, written by the great John Hollinger. He gave away, this is from my main man, Eddie. He asked us to talk about this. He wrote about all the different player and team options that could be kind of executed in this offseason. Three Celtics people, personas.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I came in hot, now I'm losing it. But there's three Celtics players on there. Semi Ojeleye, there's a team option for him. And John Hollinger predicts that the Celtics will not take that option, execute the option. What do they do to the option, Jay?
Pick up the option.
Ooh, that's why you're a writer. I'm just a law talking guy. But do you agree with Hollinger's prediction that the Celtics do not pick up Shemmy? Is this the last we've seen of the thick Jack frame in Boston?
I think there are paths this offseason that include Semi Ojeleye still on the Celtics. I think because of how crowded the roster will be with all the returners expected, plus three first-round draft picks, plus all the financial concerns the Celtics have with the luxury tax coming, I think keeping Semi might be more of a luxury, pun intended, than a necessity. And they might see it that way. Obviously, he's been a guy who's played minutes for the Celtics basically his entire career. He's started playoff games. He played in playoff games this past season. He's become a much better shooter. But I think one reason why they could move on from Semi is just the finances of it. Like, even though he doesn't make a lot of money, just cutting anything, given all the luxury tax concerns could be a big deal. And then the other thing is they'll have younger guys, and one of them is Romeo Langford, who I think they'll probably want to open playing time for. And Brad has always returned to Shemmy, and I'm not sure it would be the worst thing for the Celtics' future to have to give those minutes to somebody else, whether it be Langford or a first-round pick or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I like Shemmy. I like his contributions have been awesome. He was the Giannis stopper for a series, but he's what, at best, if everything's going well and no one is hurt, he's your 10th man, 11th man on the roster. And you're right, there's like space for guys like Romeo needs to play. I think he takes some minutes away from Grant Williams at this point, because it was very, although they played next to each other in some lineups, it felt like it was either a Grant game or a Shemmy game. And I think if you're going to want to do development, you kind of have to free up space. It makes sense that they don't want to pay him, especially if they want to get a luxury tax. But, you know, like, I'm going to miss the games in which he didn't play and just hearing the medicine ball just slamming against the locker room door. But I don't know. There doesn't seem to be a need for him. It's like, it's not the biggest deal in the world if Shemmy does not play on the Celtics next year. I'll be sad, because I don't even know if I'll be sad. I've gotten pretty,
you'd be a little sad. I'd be a little sad.
He seems like a good guy.
He seems like a really good dude. He definitely has a great work ethic. Coaches bring him up as their example of great work ethic. Like Scott Morrison was hyping up, I forget which youngster it was, and he's basically saying like, just follow what Shemmy does. Shemmy's the one as it regards to work ethic.
The 2018-2019 Brad Stevens Award for Most Improved Player on the Celtics.
Even though he didn't receive any additional opportunities.
No, he just got mentioned, as they said, the most improved. But
he was also maybe that year the only player who improved.
Jaylen Brown got a little bit better.
But he went to the bench. His production was not as good.
Yeah, well, he started going down to the bench, and then he rose back up. But so that, you're trying.
That was a very least improved type of team.
It wasn't great. It wasn't fantastic. But I love that we're the only Celtics podcast that opened with the first 5 minutes about Shemmy. But I would have to agree. I don't think the Celtics pick up his option, even though it's only like, what, $1 million, $1.2 million. The next person on the list it's a player option, and it is Celtics Twitter's favorite player, one of the unsung heroes of the playoffs. That's right, Enes Kanter, everyone. We heard some rumblings that he was going to opt out. I was like one of those like accounts, like the big like Celtics season accounts that for some reason has 47,000 followers, but they're also following 40,000 people. And they attribute it to our friend Jared Weiss that Enes may be opting out. I looked all over The Athletic. I didn't see that report. But Hollinger seemed to think that Enes may opt in, but then may be traded. I don't know. What's your read on this whole Enes situation? You're a guy who knows things and has sources. Any news to break for us, Jay?
If you look at the center market, traditionally and certainly recently, it's hard to see Enes Kanter making more money than his $5 million player option. He would probably be a veteran's minimum guy if he declines to pick up that option, and which would mean it would take him almost 3 years to make up that money.
What if he doesn't care about money? What if he just wants minutes?
That's totally possible, but there aren't many places he could go where he could win and have an obvious role.
What if it's not about winning? What if it's just about having a role?
That's certainly possible. That could happen, and there could be somebody who sees Enes Kanter differently. All it takes is one team to dictate a market. But bigs recently have been pretty cheap. You can get an Aaron Baines type for that price. You can get like pretty good bigs, Daniel Tice for that price. Like, you can get dudes for that price. I just think if Kanter does decline the player option, he'll probably be costing himself money, and that usually doesn't happen.
People don't normally just give up money unless they're going to a smaller role on a championship team, and they're like later in their career. haven't heard any like talks about that. I mean, I think Ennis would know that his like playing time, I think, would probably take a significant check down just because both of the Williamses are probably going to play more next season. If you were the Celtics and say that it was a team option, there's no way they'd be picking that up just for all the kind of money considerations you talked about with Shemmy. Like if the Celtics had their control here, they would not want Ennis back on this roster.
I'm not so sure that's the case.
Tell me why, good sir.
I mean, 1 year ago, Danny Ainge decided to target Ennis Kanter in free agency.
That's a fair point.
It was Danny Ainge who did that. So Danny Ainge has at least a relatively high opinion of Ennis Kanter. He thinks Ennis Kanter could be a helpful player in the regular season. Ennis Kanter usually does help.
Does that even matter? Does like a regular season contributor, like why is that valuable at all? Do you just need a guy to take up 8 minutes a game? Why not give those minutes to Grant or Rob?
I don't think at this stage the regular season should be Boston's concern. But like he does have uses, and they clearly determined 1 year ago that
they gave him this contract. They gave him this option to be able to say, I want $5 million more. So,
yeah. And I do think that getting Robert Williams and Grant Williams more time should be on their agenda. And I do think that even if Ennis Kanter opts in, the Celtics should look into his trade market and see whether they can get rid of his salary somehow to, you know, minimize the luxury tax payment forthcoming, but I don't think that's promised. I think there's a chance that Ennis Kanter will be on the Celtics next season.
That is painful news for a lot of Celtics fans. I've seen a lot of like hypothetical trades where you package him with like the 30th pick just to get a second rounder, just completely dump his salary. I wouldn't be too surprised if the Celtics are doing that. I'd be shocked if the Celtics made all of their first round draft picks just with the amount of space that they have on the roster right now. Although I think the last time they did that, they made all of their first round draft picks and ended up like stashing Yabu. Man, wonder what Yabu is doing today. But
something fun. That dude has a fun life. I remember his Instagram page was just always him sitting in a pool with an incredible view.
Yeah, or on a boat with an incredible view. Yabu likes to be near water and he just likes to flex on it.
Yabu lives a life.
This is also a question we got from my main man, Eddie. Considering you want to kind of develop Grant Williams and maybe Rob Williams, and this is a question that is for many months in the future because we don't even know when the NBA season is going to start. Do you consider moving Daniel Theis to the bench and starting one of those guys next year to kind of get their development going?
No. That should not be a thing the Celtics do just to get someone's development going. If Robert Williams earns a role, if Grant Williams should be the starter, then sure, let them start. But a starting position on a team that reached the Eastern Conference Finals is not something that should be handed out just because a young guy should get more minutes. Now, if you're asking me, should those guys play more? I do think the answer is yes. And I do think it should come at expense of the Ennis Kanter minutes rather than the Daniel Theis minutes, because Daniel Theis was really good.
Now, would you send Robert Williams to the G League just so he can get some minutes under his belt?
I took a second to register that.
Yeah, you did.
As a legitimate question. And then I realized that you were just making fun of John Corrales, who
it was a hot take.
Had that take?
Yeah, going into last year, that was his hot take. I agree that I think you need more development on their fronts. But Daniel Theis has played too well last year for him to take his starting role. I mean, he was just fantastic in everything that he did, and I don't know Robert Williams certainly
B plus.
Some would say an A minus, but you know, we're grading on different scales here. But a B plus is still a solid grade. And Robert Williams like does different things for the Celtics, certainly in terms of like playing above the rim. But I don't know if it like drastically changes. I don't know. They were top five defensive team in the league, largely because of the effort of Daniel Theis. Grant, maybe if he can be developed into a more 3-point shooter and they can like play more five out. Maybe he can like eventually get there, but I don't think it's something you just hand to a guy just because you want them to develop. But I agree they need more minutes because for them to be ready in the playoffs, hypothetically, they're going to need to be more seasoned than I think they were this year. Although,
And I think Kanter, even if he's on the roster still, it's pretty clear that playoffs are tough for him. Like there aren't many matchups that are good matchups for him in the playoffs. I think Philadelphia was one of those. But like looking forward to next year, Toronto is going to be a tough matchup for him. The Nets with Kyrie Irving are going to be a tough matchup for him.
The Heat.
The Heat are going to be a tough matchup for him. Like the all
Bucks
the teams
are still going to be a good, like basically it felt like he was only on the roster to slow down Joel Embiid for like, that was his main purpose.
Yeah. And so I do think getting guys, the younger guys ready for the playoffs should be a thing that they look to do next year. Ramp up the Robert Williams opportunities, ramp up the Grant Williams opportunities. Those guys need to be ready. Unless there's some other veteran center option that we're not even considering right now.
I've seen some wild takes out there about like Tristan Thompson or who's the other big men who I think are available, who I just didn't think would be, you would be able to get at a tax payer mid-level. I just don't know who's going to be like a guy willing to take a pay cut to come to Boston. I, to be honest, I haven't fully looked at all the unrestricted free agents, but you mentioned Aaron Baines. Like, is that who you want to spend your the Celtics are only going to have a mid-level exception. If you have Tice and both the Williams or the William I, the Will I, are you also spending
the
your
Willies?
The Willies. That's stupid. Are you spending your only basically free agency dollars on another big man?
I mean, it depends who's willing to come to Boston, right? Like,
but don't you need a backup point guard at this point, assuming we're like Wanamaker's gonna sign elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, if he does, he could be a restricted free agent. Like, it's not necessarily that he's gone either. So, and then like who's the perimeter guy that would help more than an Aaron Baines or Tristan Thompson if the Celtics could convince one of those guys to come? And I think it could be easier for the Celtics to convince a big man to come because I think the role for a big man is pretty obvious, right? Like there's an obvious path to minutes. There's an obvious path to being a big contributor. If you're good and you're big, the Celtics need you. For guards, the Celtics, if they're healthy, they bring Marcus Smart off the bench. So I'm not sure that the opportunity is quite there for a perimeter guy. And I'm not sure that they could get, or it might be tougher for them to get a perimeter guy to look at their situation and think, you know what, I could go there, I could compete for a title or at least have a deep playoff run, and I could get my minutes and touches too. I just think it's easier to convince a big man on that front. But
that's,
I could
probably
be wrong.
Fair. I just think it's like we talked a lot about you wanting to get Grant and Rob some more minutes, bringing another big man into that rotation. I don't think it makes like a lot of sense unless they're kind of that upper level big, but like, I don't know. Like I like Aaron Baines a lot. I really like what he did with the Celtics. I thought he was like a very strong defensive player, but what does he like his skill set? I feel like, what does it exactly bring? Like he is a very strong defender, but I know he can shoot threes now, but it's not like he's like really changing what the Celtics can do. I don't know what type of five they could bring in that is like they don't have that kind of archetype on the roster right now.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be necessarily about having an archetype. It'd be about having somebody that Brad could trust in the playoffs with backup minutes. And maybe that guy is Robert Williams. Maybe that guy is Grant Williams. I think the Celtics have to look at their roster and kind of evaluate those guys internally before they decide whether to bring a big and what type of big to potentially bring in.
Okay, let's imagine a world where Brad Wanamaker does leave the team. I still think there's a role there for a backup point guard. And one of the questions we got from Sox Nation 613 is what do you think about where Tremont Waters lands on the depth chart next season? And so I think there's an interesting question. If Wanamaker's not on the team, I think there's a role to be had for backup point guard minutes, just because there's a lot of playing Kemba and Smart together, and there's just like a third guard. Like every cromulently built basketball team has like a third point guard. Do you think Tremont Waters can come in and do that, or do you think there's like more likely to go to a guy who's a little bit more seasoned?
I think giving those minutes to Tremont Waters would be a risk. He obviously had a really good season in the G League. I think there are questions about how much of that will translate to the NBA. Obviously, the size could be an issue. Obviously, he's not like an elite shooter for a point guard. Obviously, he's had turnover issues in the past. And he can really run a pick and roll. He's fun to watch. He does some things that not many guys can do at any level of basketball. But if you go into the season and you're relying on him as your fourth guard behind whoever starts and Marcus Smart, then like that, I do think that's rolling the dice.
Yeah, I agree. I just think he's also, it's hard to hold this against him. And I think this is one of my arguments for why, like, I've seen people be like, bring Isaiah Thomas back and give him minutes off the bench. It's really tough to have your backup point guard be one dimensional and just be a strictly an offensive guy. It's like they're both of those guys are hurt by the fact that they're quite short, and Brad Stevens is a defensive coach and he wants you to be able to play defense. And it's just like to bring a guy in off the bench who's just small makes it so you can't really switch anything, makes it like there's a target. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And so I think like that's one of the reasons Wanamaker, they might likely keep him around, just because he's not the biggest guy, but he's so solid and so sturdy that you actually can switch things, and he's like more competent and stronger on the defensive end than I just don't think Tremont or IT can really bring.
Yeah, and I think the other piece of that is looking at the rest of the roster, right? And if you're expecting to rely more on Grant Williams at center, let's say, he can switch everything. And a second unit of all big guys, like let's say Marcus Smart is your backup point guard, and he's playing with one of the starting wings and a couple other guys who can switch. Now all of a sudden you have a switch everything lineup that has a huge backcourt and could potentially be an awesome, awesome defensive lineup. So I think it's important to look at all that stuff too. And if Grant Williams, if you think he's going to be your backup center, then maybe that makes the most sense going bigger in that spot. If there's something else, like you could look for different ways to kind of maximize the second unit. But I think it's important to keep in mind everything too, and not just the specific guy when you think about roster questions, you know, deeper than the top five, top seven, top eight, whatever.
That's fair. I just realized I completely forgot the entire point of this exercise, and we were going through player and team options, and we didn't even bring up Gordon Hayward. I think it's just because it's so locked in my brain that he's going to opt in. I think I was reading an article today that the cap is assumed to stay the same, and pretty much only four teams are going to have like actual cap space. And so the idea that Gordon Hayward would opt out and become a free agent in that environment and turn down $30 million coming off another injury is frankly
34.2 million.
That's four more million. I forget that every single time, but I would assume you agree with me that Gordo is going to opt in.
Probably. Yeah. I do think it's like somewhat feasible that he could opt out and get a 3 or 4 year deal for just enough money to make him think, okay, I'll go for the security of this rather than the, you know, the insecurity of opting in and then not knowing what's going to happen after that. He's had enough injuries where maybe that's something he's thinking about, like, okay, if something does go wrong again, at least then I'd have a long-term deal to fall back on. I'm not sure what he's thinking about it, but I think that's feasible. I think the more likely option, as you talk to people around the league, they think the more likely option is that Hayward probably opts in.
That makes sense to me. I mean, it's just there's also everyone loves to get rid of Gordon Hayward right now because Celtics fans are so thirsty for trades that I've seen so many proposed Gordon Hayward trades that just make no sense. And now people are saying that he's soft and he's like injury prone when it seems like most of his injuries have been complete freak accidents. So this is going to be a long offseason. One, we don't know when the season's actually going to start. Two, the Celtics probably best option is just to run it back, and people hate running it back. They want kind of just to love trades. They love trades. They love crazy ideas. We got some tweets talking about trading for Mitchell Robinson, which I think is just insane. He's literally just a worse Time Lord.
Is he like, worse?
He's not better. If anything, it's a lateral move from Time Lord.
I've actually had this discussion with NBA people. And
what are their thoughts?
There are some Mitchell Robinson supporters out there. I'll just say that.
That's the most New York bias ever. That's because a guy does it in MSG. Like, Mitchell Robinson is quite good at jumping and blocking shots. I think he...
I've always maintained that if Robert Williams got the same amount of minutes as Mitchell Robinson, it would be very similar what he would have done over the first 2 years of his career.
That's... And what is Mitchell Mitchell Robinson had, like, what, a good... One season, one and a half season. Like, where? What has Mitchell Robinson done?
Didn't he just set the record for highest field goal percentage of all time?
Did he? I did not hear about it. If he did,
I think he did. It's not a.
Is there a minimum attempts
that,
in there?
That was he really like, matters?
What was he 80 for 100 attempts? Like, how many shots did Mitchell Robinson get up last year?
He set the single season field goal percentage at 74.2%. Will Chamberlain used to have the record.
How was that? Just putting up all the Kevin Knox misses and just terrible shots. Like
the man catches alley oops. He's great at catching alley oops.
I would say he's basically the same player as the Time Lord. We're gonna transition.
Mitchell Robinson has some supporters though. I will say that because I have had this conversation, and I've always said that Robert Williams is like Mitchell Bobinson.
you say that you well, actually send that Mitchell, send that text
Mitchell
to people
Robertson.
In the league. That's terrible. That's terrible stuff.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, a bunch of people want us to talk about the draft. This is from Watch the Games Bro, a number of other different people, Lil Red L, TM Dolo. They said, yell about draft prospects after 20 minutes of YouTube research. I know nothing about the draft. I've just heard this is a bad draft and that you're not going to get anything good. I don't know.
Yell about it.
I'm going to yell about it. They're like, I don't expect anything to come from the 14th pick. Like, I know Tyler Hero last year was, what, 13th? But when the drafts are good, I think, like, you assume that there's going to be more top-end talent. But after, like, the 10th pick, it's entirely a crapshoot. And I don't know what you can expect from the 14th pick. Is seemingly very hard to evaluate talent when you can't see people in person and people like seasons were canceled. And so I have no idea what to expect from the draft. I know Jared and Sam Vecini just wrote an article about this guy, Kira something from Alabama, point guard, who they project the Celtics to take. Kind of given our discussion before, I like the idea of a kind of a backup point guard, maybe some of them a bit more size than Tremont Waters, but that's all the yelling I got. Kira Lewis from Alabama, new basketball powerhouse, Alabama, but I don't know. I got zero draft takes.
That's right where you should be. You're not a draft guy.
Never have been. I'll talk to Chris Grenham if I want to hear about the draft. What do you got? You got any draft takes? What have you been hearing on the rumor mill?
I have not heard much about the Celtics in the draft so far. I'm not going to lie. But this is a time of year when everything you do here, you think is a lie. Because teams don't want to tip off who they actually like. They don't want to tell you who they actually like. So sometimes they tell you some bullshit, which, if you can recall, had a lot of people believing years ago that the Celtics were in love with Chris Dunn. And then they took Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown got booed because everyone wanted either Chris Dunn or a trade for Jimmy Butler.
Well, I mean, the Jimmy Butler thing's looking not as bad of a take in retrospect. But yeah, I mean, like we saw last year with the Sixers, they basically told everyone they wanted Tybalt and actually forced – there's some sort of trade there where the Celtics basically got some assets for them just because they foreshadowed their pick. I have no idea what's going to happen in the draft. I think they trade some of their picks or take some a draft and stash guy, but it's just going to be very bizarre to figure out what's going on in this offseason and like when they can even like start bringing guys in. The draft is in like, what, a couple of weeks now? It's in a kind of an insane process.
November 18th.
One of our listeners
more than a month
at the Nice Tice asked, how are we going to get Okongwu? I want that young man. I don't even know who Okongwu is.
He's great. He's a good big man. Athletic big man. USC, bro.
South Carolina or Southern California?
Southern California, the Trojans.
All right. Well, sure. Let's bring him in. The Nice Tice wants him. Moving on to some more questions from the listeners. This is a great question. From our main man, producer, Andrew Schlecht. Actually, this is not a great question. This question made me upset, but it's from our producer, Schlecht.
Oh, shit. That's a messed up thing to say about the producer god.
Well, I was going to ask a different question, which is way better, but then I remember we had Schlecht, and I wanted to get to that more substantive one earlier.
Wow.
Steven Adams and Terrence Ferguson for Gordon Hayward. Who says no? The Celtics immediately.
Why
would they want a broken down Steven Adams and Terrence Ferguson? What does that do for anyone? Gordon Hayward's quite good at basketball. He did
Steven
a lot
Adams
of things.
Pretty good at basketball too.
He's not what he once was. And I just don't think they need a giant plodding big man who doesn't know how to offensive rebound anymore because he just sees ghosts of Russell Westbrook.
I mean, he still had a lot of offensive rebounds this year. Not quite at his peak, but the man can still offensive rebound. But I'm with you. I think it's enticing to think about the Celtics with a center as one of their five best players and a big center to bang with some top big men and grab rebounds and do all of that center stuff. But I think the league has shown, for the most part, you win with wings. And unless you have Anthony Davis or Bam Adebayo, like big men who really make a difference, the champions of, you know, like the Warriors teams, they like to downsize to Draymond Green at center during times that mattered. Otherwise, it was like JaVale McGee and Kevon Looney and shit like that. Not shit like that. And decent players, but not great players like that. I think but that's why it's hard to find a Hayward trade that makes sense, because he is very valuable to the Celtics and he does help them be really versatile and switchy and make them really tough to match up against for a lot of teams. And it's like, how would you replace that? What would make sense? And I don't think a Steven Adams deal would make sense, even though it is like enticing to think of this, an iteration of the Celtics where they could actually play their five best players at the same time.
Yeah.
And have it be a good idea.
But you basically, the only like type of player you'd want back is, you like, ideally you'd want a center, but I'm just thinking of like Steven Adams can't be on the floor if the Heat goes small, or not even small, but just have Bam at center. Like, that's just not a workable lineup. And so I don't know if the player exists as like a guy who's as good as Bam that the Celtics could trade, or even like approaching that level of like a athletic enough center who could be on the floor and kind of match the kind of energy of that.
I think you're kind of disrespecting Steven Adams right now, by the way.
I love Steven Adams, but I don't think he's for the modern NBA. I mean, you saw against the Rockets, like, he did not play down the stretch because like teams would just go small and he could just not do anything. I think that's like the way of the modern NBA is, unless you have a transformational big man like Anthony Davis or Bam, you're going to get by playing more small ball, and you need a guy who can shoot threes. I think it just makes more sense to have a kind of more wing or switchy players. Like, Steven Adams can't switch on. You can't play like you're kind of your best defense with Steven Adams on the court. Am I wrong?
I just looked up his plus minus numbers in the Rocket series. They weren't good.
Yeah. And that's, the Rockets are playing the most modern style in the NBA. And I don't think any other team's going to play exactly like that, but it's,
I would say the Rockets don't play a modern style. They play
the most like hyper extreme
AAU style.
It's the most like threes and layups, like extreme. It's basically analytics taken to its most extreme. I don't know if that's modern, but I don't know. Maybe I'm slandering. Maybe we'll have to get Schlecht on next week to defend proposing this trade, but, and his man Steven Adams, but we'll see.
That now, was a lot of Schlecht hate, a lot of Steven Adams hate.
You know what? I'm just speaking from the heart here. This question's from Estes Samuel. Which team would translate best to winning the 2021 Slam Ball Championship?
Ooh.
Now, I don't know how to answer this question, but I saw you just got as excited as I did when I first read the phrase Slam Ball. For those who don't remember, I think it was a show on Spike TV where they just put trampolines in front of basketball hoops. And before going, basically everything was a dunk, and you just, these players just jumped on giant trampolines and tried to dunk every single time. So I don't know how to evaluate this question, but I like the idea of just thinking of slam ball. Like, what makes a good slam ball competitor?
I mean, I feel like you got to be, first of all, bouncy. Second of all, tough. Like, they would have midair collisions at the rim. You really have to be tough, probably strong and explosive. I feel like Russell Westbrook would be a monster in slam ball.
It's really about like attacking with reckless abandon, and that is Russell Westbrook. I think
Russell Westbrook would have been a slam ball god.
Maybe he still can be.
Ja Morant?
Ja Morant does attack with some like reckless
Zion?
Abandon.
Zion would be the
GOAT.
Oh my god.
I can't believe that wasn't the first thing. He's huge.
Zion would be the GOAT. The slam ball GOAT.
It'd be linebacker and just like completely like, would you jump? Okay. Zion's coming through the lane. He has a trampoline advantage. You also can jump on a trampoline. Do you jump to try and contest his shot?
If you do, you're a brave, brave soul, and you're also going to get just obliterated.
I mean, I jump knowing I'm going to get obliterated, because when else are you going to get a chance to try and block Zion's shot with a bunch of trampolines? But I would be scared. It would be a dumb decision, but
nobody would ever beat the Pelicans. Zion would be undefeated in slam ball. He would be the absolute GOAT.
I mean, I'm actually ashamed for not thinking of that sooner, but yeah, that's absolutely the pick. It has to be Zion. Moving on to more questions. This is from Sig D. Why have the Celtics not brought back the Bill Russell era jerseys? If the Nets can bring back awful tie-dye jerseys, why can't we have some classics back? Is people really out there yearning for some Bill Russell era Celtics jerseys? I don't even know what that looks like.
Just the regular jerseys. They're calling for an end to all these alternate jerseys that have become.
I like the new Nets.
The black jerseys? Fuck out of here.
The worst was those gray pajama jerseys. At least they don't have those like weird sleeve ones anymore. I don't know. I like the Nets jerseys. I don't know if they needed to go tie-dye, but I like the powder blue. Powder blue is always a
good color. I like the Nets joints. I like the Nets joints. Those are hot.
Those are hot? I like that. All right. I mean, that's good jersey talk from us. I'm trying to see. We had someone ask to play, please yell at the YMCA to make them a bubble so they can play basketball game. That's from Smart to My Point. I got to admit it. I've played some pickup recently. I know it's the risk of doing it. There's a COVID risk, but I was just wanted to play some pickup. And let me tell you, I was bad. Had no wind. Basically was tired after three possessions. Thought I was like practicing my left all of quarantine, did so much dribbling with my left, like thought I could do just nope, nothing translated to a game. I was still awful at basketball.
I'm so jealous that you're reckless enough to play pickup hoops. I've been asked several times to play, and every time it kills me. It just kills me to say no. I want to do it, but I also want to be able to like see my parents and stuff.
So. Yeah. No, I agree. We had the like a hand sanitizer on the ready. It was outdoors, and I wouldn't do it indoors, but it was still like a little bit weird. But it did feel good going back to playing like pickup again. I think everyone's going to be awful when it's like normal, but I don't even know when that's going to be. Now that it's winter time, I just don't think it can be really done. But it was fun, like actually having competition and playing real basketball. So
it kills me that I can't. That I haven't played since March. March 9th was the last time I played. Just devastating.
It's tough stuff. It's not the most fun. I'm just doing one last check of any more questions. But Bryce Wong wants us to revisit the love of Newsies, but I'll give you a chance to do that now. Oh.
Santa Fe.
I watched that. Friend. After your last, I went through and watched a bunch of the bunch of the old classics, and man, they still go. They still slap. I mean, if people haven't listened to Newsies yet or watched Newsies yet, I highly recommend. Now, this is the off season, Jay, and we're going to have to do something to fill the content. And this is a question that comes from me. Will you commit in the next week to watching the movie Air Bud and reviewing it on the next podcast?
Absolutely not. Air Why Bud not? Is one of the shittiest basketball movies.
We don't know that. When's the last time you've seen Air Bud?
All time.
What if it's aged beautifully?
When I was however many years old, I was old enough to know that Air Bud is dog shit.
That it might be fun to watch it again and review a dog shit movie.
No. Air Bud is the worst of the worst. I'd rather watch Like Mike. I'd rather
watch Like Mike's Understruck. A classic. I've never seen Thunderstruck.
I'd rather watch basically any basketball movie of all time rather than that nonsense. I would even rather watch
this is
Basketball
why-
Diaries, which was one of the worst and most unstomachable movies ever created. The basketball scenes in that movie for players that were allegedly – like all Americans and shit made me want to puke. There is no movie worse than Basketball Diaries. The only thing that comes close is Air Bud. I will not review it for a podcast, and I am ashamed to be on a podcast with a co-host who wants to do that.
Now, like that last rant was probably a good, most entertaining 2 minutes of this entire podcast. As just like a producer, the idea of forcing you to watch Air Bud and then talk about it feels like that's good content. Tell me I'm wrong.
It would be the angriest I've ever been.
I want to do a podcast where you watch Air Bud and then immediately podcast afterwards. I'm open to other ideas, but we got to fill up the sum because I don't think things are going to change and I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about next week.
I've got, you know what, while we're here, I've got the notebook. Rant too.
Oh, all ears, buddy. Jay King's movie corner.
The Notebook is the worst romantic movie of all time.
Give me another room. Give me a good romantic.
Anybody movie. Who believes The Notebook is a great love story has no clue what love is. The dude in that movie, Ryan Gosling, he had a high school fling. And then in the middle of that high school fling, the girl told him how she wanted her house to be 20 years later. If that happened with someone in high school and he goes and gets a beard and fucking spends his life creating that house for you, he is a stalker. He is a creep. He should be put in jail. You do not leave a good man, a good fiance for Ryan Gosling, as cute as he may be. That is one of the worst movies of all time. And I will judge people who appreciate The Notebook, because to overlook the creepiness of Ryan Gosling's character.
Now, refresh me. They had no contact in between this high school and the building of the home 20 years later?
He sent letters to her and she never responded to them. And then...
Yeah, that's messed up. That's
just
like,
did some creepy, creepy ass shit.
Just, but is like back in the day, was that
you
creepy?
You don't get back with Ryan Gosling. You get a restraining order on his ass.
I mean, he's calling. It's basically like, what was that set in the 1870s? I have no idea. The early 1900s. Maybe that's just like what he was checking in with the letters, sending progress pics. Just put up this wall.
That's a creepy motherfucker. That is an unforgivable act. He should have been put in jail. That should not have been the plot of a romantic movie. That was honestly, that's a horror movie. Like, that ends up with that poor woman just mauled by a creepy, creepy son of a bitch.
See, this is good stuff. J. King hating on movies, hate watching movies, is the content that people crave. And so I would prefer that we all as a podcast watch Air Bud and talk about it next week. But if not, give me another movie that I can watch and the listener gods can watch, and we can check in J. King's Movie Corner next week. What should the people be watching, tuning into this weekend?
We'll think of something. We'll find a movie for the
Air Bud. If enough people tweet at J. King that they've watched Air Bud, he's going to have to watch it because he can't disappoint the people.
I don't want to do that. If everyone wants me to watch Air Bud, I'll be so ashamed in the listener gods.
Tweet at by J. King and say, we want the bud.
We want the bud. End it there. Just end
That's
it.
That's a perfect
shame.
Place to end the podcast. Before we go, got to give a shout out to one of the staples of Celtics Twitter, Sammy Sheehan, for turning 31 today. Go give him a follow if you want to laugh and cry and all your emotions. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Anything Is Potable. If you liked it, enjoy, subscribe, tell a friend, give a 5-star review, listen wherever you listen to podcasts. And join us next week where we'll be discussing whatever happened in the world of Celtics. And J. King will be giving his review of Air Bud, and maybe we can convince him to watch Air Bud 2, The Tale of the Golden Retriever. Golden Receiver. Damn it. Sorry, I messed up. We'll have to work on it next week. But thank you guys for listening to this episode of Anything Is Potable.
Fuck The Notebook.
I'm going to make you watch Air Bud, dog.